Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I had a really refreshing vacation that included reading, walking, lots of visiting, lots of sightseeing from San Diego to Yosemite, inhaling the beauty of creation, doing artwork, and having some fabulous meals. And so I feel refreshed, centered, happy, and privileged to be back at church. I might have had some tiredness before I left, but God can make us a new creation in whatever time is surrendered for healing and wholeness. And one of the ways I surrendered was in the act of creating some pastel paintings. And one experience in particular relates to today's gospel. I was driving down a road with pine trees on both sides. I passed a clearing and turned to my left to see the light rising over the mountains of Yosemite, transforming them in the distance. I had to stop. I pulled out my easel and set up. Then I took my iPhone to take pictures of the scene for reference later. But I tried to avoid the light. I didn't want to ruin the image with too much light so that the scene would disappear. So I angled my iPhone as best I could and took photos. I looked to see what I had taken and discovered the glowing mountains had been obliterated by only light filling the screen. It was actually amazing to see only rays of light in the iPhone. But eventually I did get some images and started working away with my pastels and a wide-brimmed hat. Did you hear what I had just said? I try to avoid the light. I did want a picture of the light-filled mountains, but I try to avoid taking a picture of the light. But I was not avoiding an experience of the light. That I shall never forget. In our gospel, the experience of the light on that mountaintop was what the apostles needed to write about. The effect of light coming through Jesus. Yet it was more than light. They used the word glory, a light energy that seemed to be the essence of who he was. Later in John's gospel, Jesus says of himself, "I am the light of the world." A saint named Irenaeus spoke of glory too. The glory of God is a person fully alive. The Apostle Peter never forgot his experience of the light-filled Jesus and the voice he heard. In our second reading, he searched for words to describe the glory, grasping for a metaphor to describe the effect of this grace. The morning star rises in your heart. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ was beyond normal understanding. The power of that moment produced an effect, in fact, a miracle, because of the sparks the light energy, the glory was sent out to all for all time. We are invited to believe that this light of God continues to shine to this very day, this very hour, this very altar, in your very hearts. We get to receive the transfiguration event of transforming love. And I had brief moments of transforming love in the experience of gazing at the light-filled mountains, the light energy dazzling the view before me. In those moments, I chose to lose myself to be transformed in the beauty. I think all of you can know, and I hope you have experienced, that beautiful views have healing power, like the power of gazing at the ocean or a sunset or glowing mountains. Viktor Frankl, who survived Hitler's Auschwitz death camp, wrote a book entitled Man's Search for Meaning, in which he recounted his prison experience. In that book, Frankl tells about riding with other prisoners on a train from Auschwitz to a concentration camp in Bavaria, locked inside a prison car. As the train approached Salzburg, prisoners crowded around small barred windows to get a glimpse of the glowing mountains. As they did so, they found themselves able, for just a moment, to forget their frightful circumstances and their darkness. Frankl says, "If someone had seen our faces as we beheld the mountains of Salzburg with their summits glowing in the sunset, through the little barred windows of the prison carriage, they would never have believed that those were the faces of men who now were deprived of life and liberty, yet were carried away by the power of nature's beauty." Never underestimate the power of nature's beauty to heal your soul. I began my sermon by saying I surrendered into moments of beauty and light, and in them I experienced a healing. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, said it like this: "The mystery of Jesus Christ is precisely that glory is most fully opened up in him, its depths revealed. And in the very darkest moment of Jesus' self-sacrifice on the cross, all of that infinite power, which is God's, is directed like a laser beam to the welfare and the healing of you and me, and the very weakest and most forgotten of God's children." That is what we get to receive. The sparks of the light energy of God's love, a transfiguring light, like a laser beam, directed by God to us, to you and me, for our welfare and healing. Healing sometimes as simple and profound as the power of acceptance and the power of gratitude. So the transfiguration was a new beginning for the disciples. Nothing would ever be the same again, or not. Because actually, in some ways, it was the same again. It would be amazing if the Gospels describe that the first followers understood it all. But instead, we hear that the disciples continued to misunderstand, complain, and even ask stupid questions. Even after the Transfiguration event. But even though the disciples did not fully understand what Jesus was talking about, especially the suffering ahead, they continued to ask their stupid questions, but they asked those questions staying in a relationship with Jesus. They continued to be in relationship with Jesus, even when they did not understand. It was after the resurrection, after they received the Spirit of Jesus himself and let the peace and light go deeper still, that they became carriers of the light. They let go and let God be God through them. The story of the Transfiguration functions, Henry Nouwen says, like an icon, like a window to the sacred. It offers us access through the gate of the visible to the mystery of the invisible. Because there, high on a mountain, the familiar face of their beloved friend and teacher is revealed literally in a new light. And in that light, their hearts can hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And now, because that light energy, that love of God has been given to us, we can recognize our true form, recognize our holy worth as carriers of the light also. We are meant to embody in our bodies, minds, and hearts the grace and truth that has been passed on to us. Moses spent time with God. And when he came down from Mount Sinai, the skin of his face was radiant. Love makes us radiant. Conversations with God make us radiant. And conversations with God is what we are called to be a part of in a two-way relationship, even when we don't understand. It includes listening, because this is my son, my chosen, listen to him. Listen to what Jesus said to us. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. For the apostles, the light that transfigured Jesus eventually affected their view and vision of everything and everyone. John later wrote in the Gospel that any darkness you have, or fear for yourself or others or the world, can never overcome the light of the world, Jesus. And Jesus shines the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember, you are a carrier of the light. May you let go and let God be God through you. Amen.